You're listening to Let's Talk Tennis with me, Tim Martin. In this episode, I'm joined by former British number ones, Annabel Croft and Andrew Castle. So Annabel and Andrew, I want to start off by firstly saying a huge thank you for taking the time to speak to me during your busy afternoon and evening here at Grantham Tennis Club and Gym.
No, it's a pleasure. We've had a wonderful afternoon. Thank you.
So I was going to say, you've just spent 3 hours on court giving coaching advice to who? To some of our adult, girl and learning disability players. Mm-hmm. How did you find it?
It was amazing. I have to say, first of all, it's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, everybody, for inviting me. And I think it's one of the most thriving, most energetic tennis clubs I've ever been to. And it sums up for me what every tennis club should be. I mean, it's just got the most amazing energy, the most amazing warmth.
Yeah, the only trouble is I lost so much to the kids that I'm actually, you know, I've got very low self-esteem now. I've been losing to children from the age of 5 to 11.
Quite right, too. Well, I did see you do some incredible drop volley, which looked like it had been out on Wimbledon Centre Court.
Life and the old dog yet.
Yeah.
No, it's not often you go and you're... you have lots of new people in front of you and you remember people's names and what they're like. And that's what this club does. And I don't know what it is, but there's an effervescence to it and there's a spirit that should try and bottle this one. And,
I agree with that.
And export it. This is exactly the sort of club that you need to make things happen in terms of participation. People want to be here.
And I think my favourite session was with the learning disability group, actually.
How competitive were they?
They were amazing. It makes me want to cry if I even think about them. They were just so wonderful, so special, and they brought such joy, and they were so energetic, and like some of them were really loud and friendly and just loving, and they were just so enjoying everything that they were doing. I was in heaven, actually.
Yeah, that was quite a moving session.
Yeah, I say this so often, but we do feel that the LD sessions are the happiest time each week.
It was amazing. Yeah. I came off court and I thought, oh, God, I need to have a bit more of that.
Yeah, well, a little bit of perspective in life. I mean, they tried hard. They listened to instruction.
Yeah, they did.
They're grateful for every moment, every piece of advice. They're competitive. I saw some of the worst lying calls I've ever seen because they're so competitive.
Yeah.
And at the end of it,
so much joy.
Just went off and had, you know, and just had a laugh.
Yeah, they were so joyful. I learned a lot from that session.
From the game of tennis, isn't it? And sport in general, let's say. Yeah. So if I can briefly just talk about your careers now, guys. Annabel, you've had a fantastic career working in the media.
Thank you.
Before this, you did brilliantly, of course, to become the British number one ranked female player. You reached number 21 in the world.
24, I think.
It's not 24?
Yeah, they were 24.
Okay, I read that 24 and 21. Okay.
Wait till he says what my top ranking was. This is a nightmare.
Not at all, Andrew. You also won both the Wimbledon and Australian Open junior titles.
Yeah, long time ago. Deep in the memory bank.
And then your WTA Tour title was in San Diego.
You've done your research.
I've done a tiny bit, yes. Yeah. And you were world number 84 at the time, just 18 years old. And you defeated the world number 7, Wendy Turnbull.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know that myself.
Yes.
Rabbit.
But then you woke up one day and decided you didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Do you think you could have gone on to make the top 20, top 10, and possibly higher if you hadn't retired earlier?
Very, very good question. It is a really piercing question because obviously I'm now a 52-year-old woman with 3 children who are older than I was when I was playing my tennis career. Or the youngest isn't quite there, but the other 2 are. And so life is in a very different place, and I'm a very different person to the person that was playing tennis back then. So I definitely look back at things and think, wow, gosh, why did I stop at 21 at such a young age? My kids are just starting their lives, and I'd already felt like I'd done a life already and was like looking to like move things on and change my whole life around. So I think if I had the mind and the kind of attitude towards my tennis now, back then I think I probably would have carried on.
Okay.
But you can never go back and change things, and I don't regret anything for one single second.
Ask her why she quit.
He doesn't. I've just spotted your calluses. What the hell are those?
It's just the it's the core.
We can edit that out, Andrew, don't worry. That doesn't have to go in.
You can't take that.
They're called Garrard pads.
Really?
Yeah, don't mock the afflicted, darling. These are Garrard pads. And I tell you what they go with.
Tennis pads.
You know what they go with? They go with these, which are called... Have you got Dupatrons?
Yes.
It's got nothing to do with tennis.
God, we've completely gone off track.
No problem.
I've done a good job of deflecting the question.
So, where were we?
Noticed your pads on your hands. Yes.
Garrard pads. Why did you quit?
I quit because the dreams of... Like, from having picked up a tennis racket at a very early age, like 9 years of age, and thinking that I wanted to win Wimbledon and be the world's greatest tennis player, the reality of the lifestyle on the tour and the tour that it was, which is a little bit different now because it's a little bit more mixed, but in my day it was an all-female tour. You came together with the men 4 times a year for 4 weeks or whatever.
Never enough.
And I just thought, I didn't know if my heart was in it enough to, and I felt like I didn't believe that I was going to end up winning Wimbledon, and I didn't think I was going to be world number one. I didn't see my life going down that pathway till I was 30 plus, because I did see myself being a mother and having children and having a different life. And I felt like I'd sort of, yeah, I could see what the future held, if that makes sense. And I think the reality of the lifestyle on the tour is very different to what people will perceive when they watch Wimbledon and the French Open, which Andrew will understand. You've been there and played these tournaments, whatever. But the reality of that lifestyle, if you want to do that till you're 30 plus, it's a tough grind.
Don't go through my record.
Okay, I'll skip.
It just can't.
I will skip that, Andrew.
Compared to Annabelle's record, too tough.
Don't say that.
I'm on more tour doubles titles.
Don't say that, Andrew. I want to now know what the record is. Read it out.
It's all right. I can do it if you want. I won 3 tour titles. I was in 5 finals. I made a tour final at the Korean Open. I won the Dunlop Masters. Played a couple of Olympics. And my best is a 3rd round at Grand Slams. But I mean, all of that's that.
Amazing.
The reason I quit is because I couldn't throw the ball up in the air.
Nor could I.
Properly. At the age of 28. I mean, it's called the yips, and it was the worst thing in the world. So that's kind of the main reason that I quit at the age of 28.
I've never heard you say that before.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was horrendous. There were 6 months of every now and then. I mean, I'd have whole matches and tournaments where the ball would go up in the air, and I'd play so well because I was so relieved. And then other matches, you know, I find myself 6-3 up in a tiebreak against Dean Milicevic at Wimbledon. He serves 2 aces, fine.
No, I remember that.
And then it's 6-5 to me serving. I threw the ball virtually in the crowd. Heart rate was about 400. I'm like, my mother, I just heard my mother. She tutted.
The tutting.
Horrendous.
I know. No, the tutting is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody, you know, it's like the old golfers. They get to sort of 40 or 50 years old and they can't putt anymore. They putt off the green from a foot because they get a little bit of electric charge.
I've never heard you talk about that.
Well, that's okay. Well, thank you for sharing and thank you for listening to me. This is like a therapy.
And if I can bring Annabelle.
People don't realise that pros get as nervous as club players. And quite often you hear club players, and even today on our sessions, a lot of them will go, oh, I'm not very good at this, I can't do this, or I can't volley. And then they go up and they actually hit a very good volley. And you think, wow, if you knew what pro players went through emotionally, it's not that different, okay. I don't think.
No, there are, and the serve is the only, is where it manifests normally. Yes. I also had a job waiting for me at Sky, and my wife was pregnant. And you want to know about pressure, it's like trying to find a job after you've finished playing. And I think it all just culminated in that moment. I didn't think I deserved to be set point up against Goran.
Yeah, but I bet you feel differently now.
Well, now I'd serve an ace out wide and laugh.
Yeah, exactly, you would feel different. That's part of what the journey is with tennis players.
Sorry if I can interrupt, please, guys. That was my next question. Do your thoughts, Andrew, echo Annabelle's in terms of every day it's an antagonistic situation, then you get ready for another one the day after? Do you feel similar? Yes, on the tour, life on the tour.
God, you know, it's quite a long time ago now. It's repetitive. It's boring. You know, you're hitting a tennis ball over a net. I mean, you're competing one-on-one with somebody else the whole time. You have to make them weak and you strong, and you have to be full of combat. I mean, it's a fairly grueling lifestyle. It's not like going down a mine or having a real job. but it has its demands, which is why it's so amazing that the likes of Federer, Djokovic, and all these guys who've won so much, Nadal, why are they still out there? They must love it.
But they're out there because those particular names are in a special category that they're not like ranked 80 in the world and not having a possibility of remaining some of the greatest players that have ever played the game. So when you mention Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, Murray, whatever, three of those names are trying to become the greatest ever.
Yeah, still though.
I mean, so you are going to, if you're in that position where you can at the end of your playing days hang up.
I suppose
rackets,
that's driving them.
Yeah,
it's driving them.
A sense of history.
Well, you know, and I think that's what's driving Serena. You wouldn't normally at 37 years of age going, well, I've just got to keep playing tennis.
Can I just add a point to that, which is when I went into my hotel room in Johor Bahru when I was, whatever I was, 27, and I saw two huge antennae in my bag and there was no window across the window. There was just a hole in the wall. And I'm playing the Chinese number one, who nobody's ever heard of, but he was unbelievable. And it's 95 degrees and it's 100% humidity. I'm just going, Sophia's at home.
Mm.
You know,
I'd rather be there.
What am I doing here?
Sure.
And frankly, if somebody had sent me a limo with white leather in the back before I arrived at my suite, or even perhaps a helicopter, perhaps I would have continued a little longer as well. In other words, if I'd have been any good.
Yes. Oh, stop saying that, Andrew.
Oh, you know, it's all right.
Yeah, okay.
It's hilarious. I love it.
Andrew and I did this ridiculous program, which was a lot of fun, and actually will be a highlight in my life.
Oh, we have fun.
Doing something called Fear Factor in Argentina.
Yeah.
And we were on the same team, and we were told, blindfolded, taken out to a field. We didn't know what we were going to be doing.
Of course, yes.
And we were then going to have to wing walk on a biplane 1,000 feet up in the air. So you had to get out of the cockpit, walk along the wing of the plane, press a button at the end, release a flare, and then get back in the cockpit and get back.
I had no idea who this pilot was. We're in the middle of nowhere. I don't know.
And the only thing that is stopping you from death, it was this little D-ring, whatever, rope thing.
Frayed rope.
Right. Andrew went up first, and I can remember being on the floor, watching him 1,000 feet up, and just like...
Walking on the wing of this aircraft, going, well, that's another thing I'm doing for money that I really ought not to.
But you survived. You're here to tell the tale, so...
It was awesome. No, but where about the maggot one?
And then we did that. That was number one. And then the second thing we did was taken to the mausoleum where Eva Perón lies. And it was quite a creepy place, wasn't it?
Very creepy.
And then they set up these three vats of fat maggots and something else, can't remember what else, with Sophie Anderton. And we had to dip our faces in the fat and then in the maggots and then lick the maggots off each other.
So just to conclude this particular story,
yes, yeah, sure.
Where did my life go so right? Utterly right that I dipped my face into that stuff, I put maggots on my face.
And then they counted how many maggots that you've mentioned.
Sophie Anderson and Annabelle Croft were licking maggots off my face. Now, that is entertaining.
I feel for you, Andrew. must have been tough.
Life is a sweet and beautiful thing. Dolce Vita, baby.
We won that one, didn't we?
Yeah, we won that one.
What do you think of the current state of tennis in Great Britain, particularly in terms of increasing participation levels?
I've been involved in many LTA campaigns, which was called Tennis for Kids.
Yes.
Every year, getting kids out onto courts, giving away free rackets, free balls, free coaching lessons. All the coaches were coached. And actually, an enormous amount of money went into those campaigns and to actually did achieve a lot more kids playing tennis. But I think the bigger issue is that a lot of kids, and I'm not saying that's why what's happening here at this tennis club in Grantham is quite amazing, because this is a special kind of energy and it's a community-based program that's kind of all coming together in one club, which is what every tennis club should be. But there is a wider issue with a lot of kids being kind of dragged away into screen-based activities and social media, and it's really difficult. Every sport is suffering. Golf is suffering. Football is suffering. Loads of sports are suffering with less children doing more sports.
Advancement of technology.
Yeah, because it's a bigger issue and... Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I mean, Annabelle's right in much of what she says, all of what she says. But the thing is, when Henman and Rosetsky were around, and we had great champions on the male side. We've always had more top-class female players. When Henry was around, I said nothing was going to change. I mean, frankly, we live in a very advanced society full of lots of lovely things to do. We're actually, most of us, all pretty well off compared to, you know, relatively. And kids are being taken away from physical activities, and like Annabelle says, they're doing screen activities, and it's a constant battle for everybody. So nothing changed with Hemman and Rosetsky around. Nothing particularly changed with Andy Murray around either. And therefore, I've given up trying to answer that question. I love this sport. And in fact, I just hope that everyone either plays this or any sport. We need physical activity. Young girls particularly give up at 13 and 14 and 15. Which is a tragedy, because the joy of physical exercise is there for all to see.
Fantastic. Can we finish very, very quickly with quickfire questions that will take 1 minute?
Go on.
I won't be able to answer any of them because I get wrong every time, and Andrew will beat me.
If we go Annabelle first and then Andrew. Federer or Nadal?
Federer.
Can't answer it.
You're taking too long to answer
it. Williams or Graf?
Graf. I trained with her.
Which Williams?
Serena.
Okay. Graf.
Henman Hill or Murray Mount?
Boring. Dull. Next.
It was first named Henman Hill.
Henman Hill.
It was Henman first.
Yeah, Henman Hill, of course.
Favourite Andy Murray moment?
Winning the US Open. I loved that moment. I thought it was amazing.
Typical. Sky were covering it. BBC final 2013 had 17.7 million people.
You did an amazing job.
I was in the commentary box. The final point was played after this enormous game. And I know it's supposed to be forget that. But Tim Henman leapt up into the air and smacked me right into the head with his elbow on the winning point because he was so excited. And my winning line was "the wait is over." Worst winning line in commentary.
No, it wasn't. I thought it was a great winning
line. Good match.
No,
good
turn. It was a fantastic line. Don't say that, Andrew. Next. It was amazing.
You can invite three people from the past or present for a meal. Who are you inviting?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll go first. Past and present. Okay.
Leanne Tapson. Who's the driving force behind Grantham? Right there, Leanne.
Okay.
Annie Besant, who was my great great grandmother.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
And Sophia Castle. She's ever so nice to me.
Okay. I'm inviting Leanne as well. Yes. Aww. Thank you.
She's bloody brilliant company
she
at lunch
is.
Or dinner.
She's amazing. Okay, I'm going to invite. Oh, God, can I think about this a bit longer?
No. Me, I want to come. I should have invited you.
Next question.
Next.
Oh, go on then.
Final question. We're running out of time. Excuse me.
Right, sorry.
Name something on your bucket list.
If you have a bucket list. I want
to go to India. Oh, me too.
I definitely want to go to India. I've never been. Have you ever been?
Not properly. No, I'm happy to go to India. Annie Besant was the first president of the African National Congress.
My God.
I've got a standing invite to go there. She's my great-great-grandmother.
Go.
All right, that's it. Sorry, mate, we've got to go. Annabelle,
you do.
We're off to India.
Pleasure. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Annabelle.